and by reason thereof held and troubled, to hold the truth of God in thraldom and bondage, till that it please God of his great mercy, in the year of God 1527, to raise up his servant, Master Patrick Hamilton, at whom our history doth begin, of whole prodigy, life, and erudition, because men of fame and renown have in divers works written, we omit all curious repetition, sending such as would know further of him, then we write to Francis Lambert, John Firth, and to that notable work lately set forth by John Fox, Englishman, of the lives and deaths of martyrs within this isle in this our age. The servant of God, Master Patrick Hamilton, being in his youth provided to reasonable honors in living, he was entitled Abbot of Fern, as one hating the world and the vanities thereof, left Scotland and passed to the schools in Germany. For then the fame of the University of Wittenberg was greatly divulgated in all countries, whereby God's providence he became familiar with those lights and notable servants of Jesus Christ at that time, Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, and the said Francis Lambert, did so grow and advance in godly knowledge, joined with fervency and integrity of life, that he was an admiration of many. The zeal of God's glory did so eat him up, that he could not long continue to remain there, but returned to his country where the bright beams of the true light, which by God's grace was planted in his heart, began most abundantly to burst forth as well in public as in secret. For he was, besides his godly knowledge, well learned in philosophies. He abhorred sophistry, and would that the texts of Aristotle should have been better understood and more used in the schools than it was, for sophistry had corrupted all, as well as divinity, as in humanity. In short progress of time, the fame of his reasons and doctrines troubled the clergy, and came to the ears of Bishop James Bettini, of whom, before we have made mention, who, being a conjured enemy to Christ Jesus, and one that long hath had the whole regiment of his realm bear impatiently with any trouble, should be made to the kingdom of darkness wherein this realm he had the head. And therefore he so traveled with his said Master Patrick, that he got him to St. Andrews, where after the conference of divers days, he had his freedom and liberty. The said bishop and bloody butchers, called doctors, seemed to approve his doctrine, and to grant that many things crave reformation in the ecclesiastical regimen. And among the rest, there was one that secretly consented with him almost in all things, named Friar Alexander Campbell, a man, a Dominican friar, of good wit and learning, but yet corrupt by the world, as after we will hear, when the bishops and clergy had full understood the mind and judgment of the said Master Patrick, and fearing that by him the kingdom should be in damage, they traveled with the king, who then was young and altogether addict to their command, that he should pass into pilgrimage to St. Dothesel, D-O-T-H-E-S-S-E, in Ross, to the end that no intercession should be made for the life of the innocent servant of God, who, suspecting no such cruelty as in their hearts was conceived, remained still a lamb among the wolves, till that upon a night he was intercepted in his chamber, and by the bishop's brand was carried to the castle, where that night he was kept, and upon the morrow, after brought forth to judgment, he was condemned to die by fire for the testimony of God's truth. The articles for which he suffered were but of pilgrimage, purgatory, prayer to saints, and for the dead, and such trifles. About the matters of great importance had been in question, as his treatises, which in the end we have added, may witness. Now that the condemnation of the said Master Patrick should have greater authority, they caused the same to be subscribed by all those of any estimation that with them were present, and to make their number great, they took the subscription of children, if they were of the nobility, for the Earl of Castile, which last deceased in France, then being but 12 or 13 years of age, was compelled to subscribe his death, as himself did confess. Immediately after dinner, the fire was prepared before the old college, and he led to the place of execution. And yet men suppose that all was done but to give unto him tenure, and to have caused him to have recanted, and have become reckoned to those bloody beasts. But God, for his own glory, for the comfort of his servant, and for manifestations of their beastly tyranny, had otherwise decreed. For so he so strengthened his faithful witness, that neither the love of life nor yet the fear of that cruel death could move him a jot to swerve from the truth once professed. At the place of execution, he gave to his servant, who had been chamberlain to him of a long time, his gown, his coat, bonnet, and such like garments, saying, "These will not profit in the fire, they will profit thee after this of me. Thou canst receive no commodities, except the example of my death, which I pray thee bear in mind, for I bet it be bitter to the flesh, and fearful before men, yet is the entrance into eternal life, which none shall possess that denies Jesus Christ before this wicked generation." The innocent servants of God, being bound to the stake, in the midst of some coals, some timbers, and other matter appointed for the fire, a train of powder was made and set on fire, which gave to the blessed martyr of God a basil, and scorched his left hand and that side of his face, but neither kindled the wood nor yet the coals, and so remained the appointed to death in torment, till that men run to the castle again for more powder and firewood, more able to take fire, which at last being kindled with loud voice cried, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." How long shall darkness overwhelm this realm? And how long wilt thou suffer this tyranny of men? The fire was slow, and therefore his torment the more. But most of all was he grieved by certain wicked men, among whom Campbell, the Black Friar, of whom we spake before, was principally, who continually cried, "Convert, heretic, call upon Our Lady, say, Save Regina, etc." To whom he answered, "Depart and trouble me not, thou messenger of Satan, Friar Campbell, apostate." But while that the aforesaid friar still roared, one thing in great vehemency he said upon him, "Wicked man, thou knowest the contrary, and the contrary to me thou hast confessed. I appeal thee before the tribunal seat of Christ Jesus." After which, in other words, which well could not be understood, nor marked because of the turmoil and the vehemency of the fire, the witness of Jesus Christ gave victory, after long sufferance, the last of February, in the year of God, 1527. The said friar departed his life within a few days after, in what estate we refer to the manifestation of the general day. But it was plainly known that he died in Glasgow in a frenzy and as one despaired. Now that all men may understand what was the single erudition and godly knowledge of the said Master Patrick Hamilton, we have inserted this, his little pithy work, containing his assertions and determinations concerning the law, the office of the same, concerning faith, and the true fruits thereof. First, by the said Master Patrick, collected in Latin, and after translated into vulgar language. Of the law. The law is a doctrine that biddeth good and forbiddeth evil, as the commandments here contained so specify. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt worship but one God. 2. Thou shalt make thee no image to worship it. 3. Thou shalt not swear by his name in vain. 4. Hold the Sabbath day holy. 5. Honor thy father and thy mother. 6. Thou shalt not kill. 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 8. Thou shalt not steal. 9. Thou shalt bear no false witness. 10. Thou shalt not desire aught that belongeth to thy neighbor. He that loveth God and his neighbor keepeth all the commandments of God. Deuteronomy 6 and Matthew 12. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto this, love thy neighbor as thyself. In these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. He that loveth God loveth his neighbor. 1 John 4. If any man say, I love God, and yet hateth his neighbor, he is a liar. He that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? He that loveth his neighbor as himself keepeth the whole commandments of God. Matthew 7 and Romans 13. Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, even so do unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. He that loveth his neighbor fulfilleth the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not desire, and so forth. If there be any other commandments, all are comprehended under this saying, love thy neighbor as thyself. He that loveth his neighbor keepeth all the commandments of God. Romans 13, Galatians 5. He that loveth God loveth his neighbor. 1 John 4. Ergo, he that loveth God keepeth all his commandments. He that hath the faith loveth God. My Father loveth you, because ye love me, and because that I came of God. He that hath the faith keepeth all the commandments of God. He that hath the faith loveth God, and he that loveth God keepeth all the commandments of God. Ergo, and he that hath faith keepeth all the commandments of God. He that keepeth one commandment keepeth them all. For without faith it is impossible to keep any of the commandments of God, and he that hath faith keepeth all the commandments of God. Ergo, he that keepeth one commandment of God keepeth them all. He that keepeth not all the commandments of God, he keepeth none of them. He that keepeth one of the commandments of God, he keepeth them all. Ergo, E-R-G-O. He that keepeth not all the commandments, he keepeth none of them. It is not in our power, without grace, to keep any of God's commandments. Without grace, it is impossible to keep one of God's commandments. And grace is not in our power. Footnote, Christ is the end and fulfilling of the law to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:14. End of footnote. Ergo, it is not in our power to keep any of the commandments of God. Even so, may you reason concerning the Holy Ghost and faith. The law was given to us to show us our sin. Romans 3 and Romans 7. By the law cometh the knowledge of sin. I knew not what sin means, but through the law. I knew not what lust had meant, except the law had said, Thou shalt not lust. Without the law, sin was dead. That is, it moved me not, neither was I that it was sin, but notwithstanding was sin and forbidden by the law. The law bidden us to do that which is impossible for us, for it bids us keep all the commandments of God, and yet it is not in our power to keep any of them. Ergo, it biddeth us do that which is impossible for us. Thou wilt say, Wherefore does God command us that what is impossible for us? I answer, to make thee know that thou art but evil, and that there is no remedy to save thee in thy own hand, and shalt thou seek remedy at some other. For the law doth nothing but command thee. Of the gospel. Gospel qualifies God's spell. That is God's word. But ordinarily it is taken from that part which we call evangelical. That is good tidings. Otherwise, gospel qualify good speed. That is good words. And so, good tidings of the gospel. The gospel is as much to say in our tongue as good tidings, like as every one of these sentences be. Christ is the Savior of the world. Christ is our Savior. Christ died for us. Christ died for our sins. Christ offered Himself for us. Christ bare our sins upon His back. Christ bought us with His blood. Christ washed us with His blood. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ came into this world to take away our sins. Christ was the price that was given for us and our sins. Christ was made debtor for our sins. Christ hath paid our debt, for He died for all. Christ hath made satisfaction for us and for our sins. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our redemption. Christ is our satisfaction. Christ is our goodness. Christ hath pacified the Father of heaven. Christ is ours and all His. Christ hath delivered us from the law, from the devil and hell. The Father of heaven hath forgiven us for Christ's sake, or any such other as declare unto us the mercies of God. The nature of law and of the gospel. The law showeth us our sin, showeth us our condemnation. Is the word of, is the law of despair, is the word of displeasure. The gospel shown us a remedy for it, showeth us our redemption, is the word of grace, is the word of comfort, is the word of peace, a disputation betwixt the law and the gospel. The law saith, Pay thy debt, thou art a desperate sinner, thou shalt die. The gospel said, Christ hath paid it, thy sins are forgiven thee. Be a good comfort, thou art saved. The law saith, Make amends for thy sin. The Father of heaven is wrath with thee. Where is thy righteousness, goodness, and satisfaction? Thou art bound and obliged unto me, the devil and hell. The gospel saith, God, Christ hath made it for thee. Christ has pacified him with his blood. Christ is thy righteousness, goodness, and satisfaction. Christ has delivered thee from them all. Of faith, faith is to believe God, like as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15 and John 5, he that believed God believed his word. To believe in him is to believe his word, and account it true that he speaketh. Leaving off on frame 96. He that believeth not God's word, he comprises him false and a liar, and believeth not that he may and will fulfill his word, and so he denieth both the might of God and himself. Faith is the gift of God. Every good thing is the gift of God. Faith is good. Ergo, James 1. Faith is the gift of God. The gift of God is not in our power. Faith is the gift of God. Ergo, faith is not in our power. Without faith it is impossible to please God. All that cometh not of faith is sin. For without faith can no man please God. Besides that, he that lacketh faith, he trusteth not God. He that trusteth not God trusteth not in his word. He that trusteth not in his word holdeth him false and a liar. He that beholdeth him false and a liar, he believeth not that he may do that he promises, and so denieth he that he is God. Oh, how can man, being of this fashion, please God? No manner of ways. Yea, suppose he did all the works of man and angel. Romans 14 and Hebrews 11. All that is good, done in faith pleases God. Right is the word of God in all his works in faith. Lord, thine eyes look to faith. That is as much to say as, Lord, thou delighteth in him. God loveth him that believeth in him. How can they then displease him? He who hath faith is just and good, and a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Ergo, all that is done in faith pleases God. Moreover, he that hath faith believeth God. He that believeth God believeth his word. He that believeth his word, one well that he is true and faithful and cannot lie, but knoweth well that he both may and will fulfill his word. How can he then displease him? For thou canst do no greater honor unto God than to count him true. Thou wilt then say, that theft, murder, adultery, and all vices please God. No, verily, for they cannot be done in faith. For a good tree beareth good fruit. He that hath faith, wotten well that he pleases God. For all that is done in faith pleases God. Faith is a sureness. Faith is a sure confidence of things that are hoped for, and a certainty of things which are not seen. The same Spirit certifieth our spirit that we are the children of God. Hebrews 11, Romans 8. Moreover, he that hath the faith, wanting well that God will fulfill his word. Romans 4. Ergo, faith is a sureness. A man justified by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Romans 4. We suppose, therefore, that a man is justified, saith the apostle, without the works of the law. He that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. The just man liveth by faith. Habakkuk 2, Romans 1. We know that a man is justified, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the deeds of the law. Of faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is to believe in him that is, to believe in his word, and to believe that he will help thee in all thy need and deliver thee from all evil. Thou wouldst ask me what word? I answer, the gospel. He that believeth in Christ shall be saved. He that believeth the Son hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. 1 John chapter 5. This I write unto you, that believing in the name of the Son of God ye may know that ye have eternal life. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou believest. But happy are they that have not seen and yet believe in me. All the prophets to him bear witness, that whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of their sins. What must I do that I may be saved? The apostle answered, believest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou acknowledge with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in thy heart that God raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He that believeth not in Christ shall be condemned. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the error of God abideth on him. The Holy Ghost shall reprove the world of sin, because, saith Christ, they believe not in me. They that believe in Jesus Christ are sons of God. Ye are all sons of God, because ye believe in Christ Jesus. He that believeth in Christ, the Son of God, is safe. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answers and said unto him, happy art thou, Simon, the son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not opened unto thee that, but my Father which is in heaven. Galatians 3, Matthew 19. We have believed and known that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. John 9 and John 20. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in believing ye might have life. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He that believeth God believeth the gospel. He that believeth God believeth his word, and the gospel is his word. Therefore, he that believeth God believeth his gospel. As Christ is the Savior of the world, Christ brought us with his blood. Christ washed us with his blood. Christ offered himself for us. Christ bare our sins upon his back. He that believeth not the gospel believeth not God. He that believeth not God's word believeth not himself. And the gospel is God's word. Therefore, eagle, that he that believeth not the gospel believeth not God himself. And consequently, they that believe not, as is above written, and such other believe not God. He that believeth the gospel shall be saved. Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, Matthew 18. A comparison between faith and incredulity. Faith is the root of all good. Maketh God and man friends. Bringeth God and man together. Incredulity is the root of all evil. Maketh them deadly foes. Bringeth them asunder. All that proceedeth from faith pleaseth God. All that proceedeth from incredulity displeaseth God. Faith only maketh a man good and righteous. Incredulity maketh him unjust and evil. Faith only maketh a man the member of Christ, the inheritor of heaven, the servant of God. Faith showeth God to be a sweet father, holdest stiff by the word of God, counteth God to be true, knoweth God, loveth God and his neighbor, only saveth, extolleth God and his work. Incredulity maketh man a member of the devil, maketh him inheritor of hell, maketh him the servant of the devil, maketh God a terrible judge, causes him wonder here and there, maketh him false and a liar, knoweth him not, loveth neither God nor neighbor, only condemneth, exalteth flesh and her own deceits. Of hope. Hope is a trusting thing, looking for of things that are promised to come unto us, as we hope the everlasting joy which Christ hath promised unto all that believe in him. We should put our hope and trust in God only, and in no other thing. Psalms 1:17. It is good to trust in God and not in man. He that trusteth in his own heart, he is a fool. It is good to trust in God and not in princes. Thou shalt be like unto images that make them, and all that trust in them. He that trusteth in his own thoughts doth ungodly. Cursed be he that trusteth in man. Bid the rich men of the world that they trust not in their unstable riches, but that they trust in the living God. It is hard for them that trust in money to enter into the kingdom of God. Moreover, we should trust in him surely, that can help us, yea, we should trust in him only. Well is him that trusteth in God. 1 Timothy 6. And woe to them that trust him not. Well is the man that trusteth in God, for God shall be his trust. He that trusteth in him shall understand the truth. They shall all rejoice that trust in him. They shall all ever be glad, and those will defend him. Of charity. Charity is the love of thy neighbor. The rule of charity is to do as thou wouldest were done unto thee. For charity esteemeth all alike, the rich and the poor, the friend and the foe, the thankful and the unthankful, the kinsman and stranger. A comparison between faith, hope, and charity. Faith cometh of the word of God. Hope cometh of faith. And charity springeth of them both. Faith believes the word. Hope trusteth after that which is promised by the word. And charity doth good unto her neighbor through the love that she hath to God and gladness that is within herself. Faith looketh to God in his word. Hope looketh unto his gift and reward. Charity looketh unto her neighbor's profit. Faith receiveth God. Hope receiveth his reward. Charity looketh unto her neighbor with a glad heart, and that without any respect of reward. Faith pertaineth to God only, hope to his reward, and charity to her neighbor. Of good works, Galatians 3. No manner of works make us righteous. We believe that a man shall be justified without works. No man is justified by the deeds of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. And we believe in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the deeds of the law. If unrighteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. That no man is justified by the law, it is manifest, for a righteous man liveth by his faith, but the law is not of faith. Moreover, since Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, and all that there is, behooved to die for us, we are compelled to grant that we were so far drowned in sins that neither the deeds nor the creatures that never God made might help us out of them. Therefore, no deeds nor works can make us righteous. No works make us unrighteous. For if any works make us unrighteous, then the contrary works would make us righteous. But it is proved that no works can make us righteous. Ergo, in other words, therefore, no works make us unrighteous. Works make us neither good nor evil. It is proved that works neither make us righteous nor unrighteous. Ergo, no works neither make us good nor evil. For righteous and good are one thing, and unrighteous and evil another. Good works make not a good man, nor evil works an evil man. But a good man maketh good works, and an evil man evil works. Good fruit maketh not the tree good, nor evil fruit the tree evil. But a good tree beareth good fruit, and an evil tree evil fruit. A good man cannot do evil works, nor an evil man good works. For an evil tree cannot bear good fruit, nor a good tree evil fruit. A good man is good before he do good works, and an evil man is evil before he do evil works. For the tree is good before it bears good fruit, and evil before it bears evil fruit. Every man is either good or evil. Either make the tree good and the fruit also good, or else make the tree evil and the fruit likewise evil. Every man's work is either good or evil, for all fruit is either good or evil. Either make the tree good and the fruit also, or else make the tree evil and the fruit is likewise evil. A good man is known by his works, for a good man doeth good works, and an evil, evil works. Ye shall know them by their fruits, for a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and an evil tree forth an evil fruit. A man is likened to the tree and his works to the fruit of the trees. Beware false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. None of our works either save us, nor condemn us. It is proved that no works make us either righteous or unrighteous, good or evil. But first we are good, before we do good works, and evil before we do evil works. Ergo, no work either saveth us nor condemneth us. Thou wilt say, then make it no matter what we do. I answer thee, yes. For if thou do evil, it is a sure argument that thou art evil and wantest faith. If thou do good, it is an argument that thou art good and have faith. For a good tree beareth forth good fruit, and an evil tree evil fruit. Yea, good fruit maketh not the tree good, nor evil fruit the tree evil. So that man is good before he do good works, and evil before he do evil works. The man is the tree, and the works are the fruit. Faith maketh the good tree, incredulity the evil tree. Such a tree, such a fruit, such man works. For all that is done in faith pleases God, and are good works. And all that is done without faith displeases God, and are evil works. Whosoever thinketh to be saved by his works denieth that Christ is our Savior, and that Christ died for him, and finally all things that belongeth to Christ. For how is he thy Savior, if thou mightest save thyself with thy works? Or to what end should he have died for thee, if any works of thine might have saved thee? What is this to say, Christ died for thee? Is it not that thou shouldest have died perpetually, and that Christ, to deliver thee from death, died for thee, and changed thy perpetual death unto his own death? For thou makest the fault, and he suffered the pain, and that for the love he had to thee. Before ever thou wast born, when thou hast done neither good nor evil, how since he hath paid thy debt, thou diest not, nor thou canst not, but shouldest have been damned if his death were not. But since he was punished for thee, thou shalt not be punished. No. Finally, he hath delivered thee from condemnation, and desireth nothing of thee, but that thou shouldest acknowledge what he hath done for thee, and bear it in mind, and that thou wouldest help others for his sake, both in word or deed, even as he hath helped thee, for naught and without reward. Well, how ready would we be to help others if we knew his goodness and gentleness towards us? He is good and a gentle Lord, and he doeth all things for naught. Let us, I beseech you, follow his footsteps, whom all the world ought to praise and worship. Amen. He that thinketh to be saved by his works calleth himself Christ. For he calleth himself a Savior, which appertaineth to Christ only. What is a Savior? But he that saveth. And thou sayest, I save myself, which is as much to say as I am Christ, for Christ is only the Savior of the world. We should do no good works to the intent to get the inheritance of heaven or remission of sins through them. For whosoever believeth to get the inheritance of heaven or remission of sins through works, he believeth not to get that for Christ's sake. And they who believe that their sins are not forgiven them, and they that shall not be saved for Christ's sake, they believe not the gospel, for the gospel saith, thou shalt be saved for Christ's sake. Sins are forgiven you for Christ's sake. He that believeth not the gospel believeth not God, and consequently they have believed to be saved by their works, or to get remission of sins by their own deeds, believe not God, but account him a liar, and so utterly deny him to be God. Thou shalt say, shall we then do no good works? I say, not so. But I say, we should to do no good works to the intent to get the kingdom of heaven or remission of sins. For we believe to get the inheritance of heaven through good works. Then we believe not to get it through the promise of God. Or if we think to get remission of our sins by good works, we believe not that they are forgiven us by Christ, and so we count God a liar. For God saith, Thou shalt have the inheritance of heaven for my son's sake. You say, It is not so, but I will gain it through mine own works. So I condemn not good works, but I condemn the false trust in any works. For all then works for a man putteth confidence in are therefore intoxicated or empoisoned and become evil. Wherefore, do good works, but beware thou do them not to get any good through them. For if thou do, thou receivest the good, not as the gift of God, but as debt unto thee. And maketh thyself fellow with God, because thou wilt not take nothing from him for naught. What needeth he anything of thine, who giveth all things, and is not the poorer? Therefore do nothing to him, but take of him, for he is a gentle Lord, and with a gladder heart will give us all things that we need. Then we take it of him. So that if we want anything, let us blame ourselves. Press not then to the inheritance of heaven through presumption of thy good works. For if thou doest, thou countest thyself holy and equal unto him, because thou wilt take nothing of him for naught. And so shalt thou fall as Lucifer fell from heaven for his pride. Thus ends Master Patrick's articles. And so we return to our history.